So here in 1 Kings 13, very interesting passage about some unnamed prophets and yet a great lesson for us about authority. So we'll begin in verse 1 of 1 Kings 13. It says, "And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar and the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name. And upon thee shall he offer the priests in the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, This is the sign which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. It came to pass, when the king Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, Lay hold on him. His hand which he put forth against him dried up, so they could not pull it in again to him. The altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. The king answered and said unto the man of God, Entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before. And the king said unto the man of God, Come home with me, and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, If thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so was it charged to me by the word of the Lord, saying, Eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way, and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king. Them they also told to the father. And their father said unto them, What way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, Saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon. And he went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, Art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, Come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord that thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. And he said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, Bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. So our title today is An Angel Spake Unto Me. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would use your word now to teach and grow us. Lord, that we would take heed to what we learn and be ever so careful about your authority through your word. And Lord, I pray that Jesus would be magnified and that the Holy Spirit would guide us in truth, that hearts would be open and amazing things would happen in lives through this time in your word. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. An angel spake unto me. Sounds good, doesn't it? You got to understand, this old prophet, he wanted this other prophet, who is obviously a prophet of God, to come to his house for a meal. It was important to him that they fellowship. So important to him that, as it says there, he lied about the angel. But the old prophet, or the other prophet, said, Well, he's a prophet just like me, and if an angel spake unto him, who am I to argue with that? And he went back with him to his house and had a meal with him. We'll see what happens later, but the old man is actually killed by a lion directly from God for disobeying God's command. See, that's pretty severe. But God's command was very clear, wasn't it? God spoke exactly what he wanted to happen and not to happen to this prophet. And he says, verse 17, it was said to me by the word of the Lord. It was by the word of the Lord that I was told, eat no bread, nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way. That it wasn't complicated. You're going to go, you're going to give this prophecy to the king. I'm going to work a miracle with the altar. My command is very simple. Don't eat or drink while you're in this town, and leave the opposite way you came. That's it. Pretty simple. But then this old prophet said, yeah, but an angel spake unto me and told me that you're supposed to come to my house for dinner. And it says, verse 19, he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. This is about the authority of God's word and the authority that comes from other areas, as we will talk later. But I just want to show you what happened. Verse 21. He cried unto the man of God that came from... Oh, sorry, no, that's too far down. Looking for the lion. We'll get there again, but I just want to show you. Oh, yeah. When he was gone, verse 24, a lion met him by the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast into the way, and the ass stood by it. The lion also stood by the carcass. And behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass, and they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, it is the man of God who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Wow. That lion killed him because he disobeyed God's clear command. Now, yeah, it was me that convinced him to do it, because I lied and said an angel spake unto me. But you know, you and I, we have God's word in our hands, hallelujah. And God's commands are very clear, are they not? We did a study on them recently. There's about 150 commandments for us in the New Testament. But they're clear. God never minces words when it comes to his commandments, does he? I'll give you some examples. He says we're to study his word, we're to pray, we're to witness, we're to be faithful, we're to do all to the glory of God, we're to be thankful for all things, we're to seek heavenly things, we're to use our spiritual gifts and serve the Lord. Husbands are to honor their wives, wives to obey their husbands. We're to reconcile with those we've wronged and that have wronged us. We're not to let any corrupt communication proceed out of our mouths. We're to be content. We're not to speak evil one of another. Fornication is still a sin, despite what the society says. We're not to be selfish or self-centered, and I could go on for about 10 more minutes, but we get the point, don't we? That God's commands are clear. The command to this prophet was clear. Not ambiguous at all. Go in, give your prophecy, don't eat or drink, leave the opposite way you came. That's it. And yet, how many times do we disobey God and then try to make excuses for it? There's plenty of examples in the Bible, are there not? It started in the Garden of Eden, didn't it? First, they tried to blame shift. Adam said, oh, that woman. And she said, oh, that serpent. Then they tried to hide from God. It definitely couldn't be their fault, could it? That they disobeyed God's clear one command. One command. You got all this. It's all yours. I'll even come and spend time with you every day in the cool of the day. Just one command. Just one. Don't eat of that one tree. That's a pretty short list of commands, isn't it? Guess which one they broke? The one. And then it just goes on from there. There was a time when they were bringing the Ark of God back for David. And they put it on a cart and it began to fall. And a man reached up to touch it to keep it from falling off the cart. And God killed him on the spot for touching the cart. Say, how cruel, how severe. But God had already given them clear commands that whenever they moved the ark from one place to another, they were to use the staves in the corners and or the rings in the corners and put staves through them and carry them on the shoulders of the priests. That was God's command. That whenever you transport the cart, that's how you do it. But they put it on the ark and they put it on a cart. They disobeyed. And God punished them for it. But how many times do we make excuses for disobeying God's clear command? We only have one authority as God's children, and that is this book. Amen? And we need to believe that. So let's talk about some things that are not our authority. And we'll start with this man's authority, which was an angel. You might be surprised to hear that a number of the cults that are around today were supposedly started by angels. So things haven't changed much in 3,000 years, have they? And if you talk to them, they'll tell you, yes, an angel spoke to our founder and told him this. And now millions of people follow these religions that were supposedly started by angels. Yet Paul said in Galatians 1, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we preach unto you, let him be accursed. That included angels from heaven, shockingly. So no, an angel is not going to come down and give you anything new. It's not going to happen. How about a sign? I think as we get here in the last days, we're going to see more and more signs. More and more miracles happen. If you go to Deuteronomy 13, God talked about these signs that Israel would see. And a sign is not our authority. If it in any way leads us away from the truths of God's word. Notice Deuteronomy 13, verse 1. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass. So this is an actual sign that happened. Where if he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you. You see that? God says, I'm going to allow this to happen sometimes. I'm going to allow people to come along and be able to work a miracle or dream a dream, and it will seem amazing. It might even be supernatural, but if they're leading you away from God, they're not from God. We read about the tribulation period in Matthew 24. What's the Antichrist going to use more than anything, and the beast and the false prophet, but miracles to lead people to worship what they believe is God, which will actually be the Antichrist. But he's going to use miracles to lead people astray. We cannot trust signs and miracles. We can trust this book. What about experience? Well, 1 John 4:1 says, try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. The Bible says to prove all things. And yet many people think that experiences are never subject to error. In one of our Bible college classes, I explained to them, when somebody tells you about an experience, it's a waste of time to try to tell them that it may not be from God. All you're going to do is start an argument. So don't even try it. Because anybody who has an experience of whatever it might be, and if they're using it as the authority to make some sort of a decision or to believe a certain way, in their mind, that experience is infallible. You're not going to convince them otherwise. And yet, can we trust our experiences? Is the devil real? Does he appear as an angel of light? Yes, 2 Corinthians 11, 14 and 15. How about our feelings? This is my favorite one. How about our feelings? Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. I know I'm running through these quickly, but I just wanted to get to the heart of the message. And these are things we cannot trust. They are not authority from God. Our feelings, our experiences, a sign, an angel. Notice Jeremiah 10, 23. One of my favorite Old Testament verses. He says, I know, O Lord, that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Saying, Lord, I know that we absolutely, as mankind, do not know the right way to go. We just don't know. And then later on, chapter 17, he says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And yet, how many times are we led by our emotions, our feelings? Well, it felt right, so it had to be of God. Anybody ever heard that before? Anybody ever heard I had a piece about it? I know I'm treading on thin ice on that one because I hear that all the time. Well, I had a piece about it, so it had to be from God. Is it possible? Is it just slightly possible that maybe that peace that you supposedly had in your heart wasn't from God? You see, if we're not careful, we'll think that those things are infallible. And that because I felt good about it, it had to be God's will. You don't think the devil can make you feel good about something that isn't God's will? To try to lead you astray? This will never lead you astray. Amen? This is God's authority for us. And there is no other authority. And this is my favorite. God told me so. Now, we don't hear that so much around Bible-believing churches, but it's everywhere in the charismatic movement, isn't it? God told me to tell you this. God told me to do this. God told me this. Yeah, how? How did he tell you? Was it a dream? Did he speak to you audibly while you were out in the forest? How did he tell you? It's scary stuff. When people who claim to be born-again Christians allow experiences and feelings to guide them into what they believe is God's will. God's will is never ambiguous. It's always clear, and it is in God's word. We'll talk more about it Wednesday night. And then the last thing is tradition. Look at Mark 7:13. Mark 7:13. Jesus speaking, he says, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things you do. He's rebuking here the Pharisees, and he says, you guys have undone the word of God. You've negatized the word of God through your traditions. How many people go to church every Sunday, and almost everything they do is based on tradition rather than the word of God? Passed down from people to people, century to century. They do this, they do this, they pray to this person, they do that, and none of it's in the Bible. It's all tradition. So what is our authority? Well, if you look at Luke 16, just quickly, most of us know this story of the rich man and Lazarus. And we won't go through the whole story, but at the end, we have the rich man actually able to speak to Abraham. There was a gulf between them. And he said, I have five brethren, verse 28 of Luke 16. Or actually, verse 27, he says, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham. But if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Most people believe that. But hang on, somebody did come back from the dead. His name was Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. And how many believe on him? And then verse 31, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. If they're not willing to hear this, they're not going to be convinced. Even if somebody walked into the room still burning with fire from being in hell, it won't change their mind. Because it's the word that has the power to convict and change hearts, and the Holy Spirit using the word. So we cannot trust angels, we cannot trust signs, experience, feelings, traditions. But we can always trust this book. Look at John 12:48 if you would. And then we'll get started on our message. I'm kidding. John 12:48. Jesus said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words. So he's not talking about his miracles. He's not talking about the amazing things that he did. He says his words. Amen. Hath one that judgeth him, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. You and I will not be judged by anything but this book, because it is our authority. And so let's go back to our passage now. In verse 19 of 1 Kings 13. It says, so he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. I hadn't shown you this part yet because you're going to find it absolutely unbelievable. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, "Thus saith the Lord, forasmuch as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drank water in the place of the which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers." God actually gave a prophecy through the man that lied about the angel. And so this prophet, obviously a great man of God, God worked this great miracle speaking to the wicked king. He's sitting there at dinner because he believed the other prophet when he said, "An angel told me if you should come to my house." And while they're having dinner together, the old prophet says, "Thus saith the Lord, because you've disobeyed God's command, you're going to die. And not your body's not going to be buried with your family." Can you believe that? You're going to die. And so God punished this man of God for disobedience. As we saw, a lion. And the prophet definitely understood the why, didn't he? Because he's the one that pronounced the condemnation. Isn't that amazing? He's the one that had just lied and said, "Come to my house. An angel told me you should come to my house." Well, okay. If you're a prophet, God obviously changed his mind. Said it's okay to come to your house. Oh, by the way, he lied. And now you're going to die. Just for having dinner. I said, well, that's pretty severe, dying because you have dinner. No, he died because he disobeyed God's direct command. God takes his commands very seriously. And we should as well. And if ever there's anything in your life that is leading you away from the direct commandments of God in any way, shape, or form, don't listen to it. It's just the devil. Look at 2 Corinthians 11:14. It's just the devil trying to get you off track. You know, people think that the devil shows up as this funky-looking creature with horns and a tail. Well, not according to God's word, he doesn't. It actually says, 11:14, "No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness." So it tells us that even the devil is going to appear as a good guy, an angel of light. And his ministers, his helpers, the devils, are going to look like ministers of righteousness. This is all going to happen under tribulation again, isn't it? People are going to say, "Oh, the Antichrist, he is God, and we want to all worship him and follow him because he's amazing." They're not going to say, "We all want to worship the devil." They're going to think they're worshiping God. And when the devil comes along and whispers in your ear and says, "Hey, I'm going to give you a dream and it's going to tell you to do such and such," don't listen to it. Just go back to this book, amen? You can rely on this book. The devil is very active. The devil hates Christians, especially Christians that choose to serve the Lord. And we must be ever so careful. So we'll finish our passage here in 1 Kings 13 and close in prayer. But I just wanted us all to be reminded today that the devil's going to try to lead you astray from his clear spoken word, and he will use many different means to do it. In this case, supposedly an angel led them, and he lied. Verse 23, "It came to pass, after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back." So the old prophet was even nice enough, after giving him dinner, to saddle his ass for him, to send him off to his death for his disobedience. "And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way. And the ass stood by it. The lion also stood by the carcass. And the men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass. And they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, "It is the man of God who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion, which had torn him and slain him, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake unto him. And he spake unto his son, saying, Saddle me the ass. And they saddled him, and he went, and found his carcass cast in the way, and the ass and the lion standing by the carcass. The lion had not eaten the carcass, nor torn the ass. And the prophet took up the carcass of the man of God, and laid it upon the ass, and brought it back. And the old prophet came into the city to mourn and to bury him. And he laid his carcass in his own grave, and they mourned over him, saying, Alas, my brother. My brother that I lied to and caused to be killed by a lion, my brother. Amazing, isn't it? He said, an angel spake unto me, but he lied. And it's only going to get worse here in these last days. It's going to happen more and more. Where the devil's going to try to use dreams. He's going to try to use signs. He's going to try to use miracles. He's going to try to use your thought life, which, by the way, is also not reliable, as we know. He's going to try to use every means he can to lead you away from this. So let's just stick with this. Amen? This we can trust. This is our final authority. God preserved it for us, and we have a copy of it. Hallelujah. Be thankful for it. And read it and meditate in it and memorize it every day. Because there's going to be a lot out there trying to lead you away from it. Just stick with it. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for your word. We just can't praise you enough that you have been so kind to us and allowing us to have a copy of your word in our hands. And it is so beautiful and powerful, Lord, and it feeds us and grows us and guides us and protects us and convicts us. And Lord, I just pray that we would always run our lives based on this book and nothing else, and never allow the devil to lead us astray with false authorities. I pray, Lord, that this truth would help us to, Lord, be students of your book. And Lord, that we might be prepared and ready for when every wind of doctrine comes our way, we're ready for it, because we are mature in your word. I pray this could become a reality. We pray that you have your will and way in our hearts as we contemplate these things in the invitation time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's